Open your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 6. We're in our final few weeks in this magnificent letter of Paul to the church. And the title of this message today is Lace Up Those Gospel Shoes. This is so important. Shoes are vital. Shoes are important for so many different areas of life. You got to get those shoes on your feet. I know there's you barefoot people, you gotta get the grounding, go out there, and that's fine and all, but please, for the rest of the day, put on some shoes. There's some people who've carried the grounding thing a little too far. There's one couple I watched on YouTube, and they had taken their shoes, and they had cut the soles out of all of their shoes, and that way they can stay grounded even when they go into the stores. And they have these shoes that are just coverings, they're fake shoes, and they go to the stores, and they're like, you know, kind of chuckling. It's like, haha, you know, little do you know that we are still grounded. But grounding is important too, so go ahead and do that if you want. But please put on those shoes, because we are in a dangerous world, and these feet need protection, and we need to go into areas where shoes are needed, because they'll keep us on firm footing. And how many of you have known I've already switched over in my speech to metaphorical spiritual shoes? One of the strongest evidences of the fact that we're in a war, a spiritual war, is the evidence of the demonic warfare that we see in the world today. Watching the news over the past few weeks has been heartbreaking. Hearing what happened in Welland, you know, for you that don't even know, if I just mention the city's name and you don't know what I'm talking about, thank goodness you don't watch the news. It's horrific what is happening in the world today. Innocence being stolen, people being hurt, children being shot in their schools. There's evil, it seems, around every corner. Seeing a stabbing of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee on a bus should never have happened. You think about the evil that happened on that bus. And then, of course, this week on everybody's hearts and minds is the Kirk family. At the age of 31, leaving behind two beautiful children, a beautiful young wife. Just a horrific, terrible thing. And no matter how you look at it, no matter how you view it, you could look at it and say, oh, it's just some lunatic did a terrible thing. If you, like me, do this thing with your social media, I have one social media that leans in one direction. It's the world. I have another one that I fill up with, it's all my people. It's the family of God. And I go and I look at my one social media, and it's heartbreak, it's mourning, it's loss, it's a realization that we lost a great defender of the faith. I go to the other one, and what I expect to hear, what I expect to see is a lot of, you know I don't agree with this guy, but what people did was terrible. That's all I expected to see. Because when I think of people who I disagree with, when I think of people who I think are pushing an evil agenda, I would never wish death on those people. And if that person is killed, I would never get on my social media and say, glad that person's gone. Never in a million years. And so I look at this and I realize there is evil in the world to a degree that I was hoping wasn't so strong, but yet I knew was there. Because I saw 80% of that feed was people rejoicing and celebrating. Sickening. Demonic. And so it makes me realize we are in a battle, and we have the message of hope and peace and of love. A message that can bring freedom and life to people. But the thing that I was encouraged about this week is the millions and perhaps billions of people who will rise up and be bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is where this message comes in today. We need to lace up these gospel shoes. We need to take the message of the gospel to people who are lost and far from God. You see, we're in a spiritual battle in which there is an enemy who wants to steal, he wants to kill and to destroy. The Bible says that he is the Lord of darkness. He is the Lord of the children of disobedience. And he will use darkness. And that's why the scripture tells us that we need to, in Romans 13, put on the armor of light. And part of that armor is these gospel shoes. You see, every day is the evil day. This is what Paul tells us here in Ephesians. He says that we are to withstand in the evil day, and every day until the enemy, the evil one, is thrown into the abyss is the evil day. We need to awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. We need to be alert, and we need to lace up our gospel shoes. But before we dig into this particular part of Ephesians and the armor of God, the gospel shoes, we need to define some words. You guys know I'm big on definitions and word etymologies. Sometimes I throw them out there randomly, such as hamburger comes from not ham, but it's from Hamburg, Germany. Who would have known that? I love looking at the origin of words. Why? You know, we got one German that knew that. But why do I like to do that? Because I like to know what I'm saying. Words matter. They matter very, very much. And so let's look at some of these words here. One of them is the word preparation, which can mean either stability or mobility. And it's funny because you see these scholars, Michael likes to call them Bible nerds, but they're fighting each other online over, you know, no, it's stability. And the other one's like, no, it's mobility. And they're fighting. And I'm looking at it thinking, you know, if I was to send my grandkids outside and they, you know, we put their shoes on and we're sending them outside and my grandkid asks me, let's say Atticus says, you know, are these for mobility or stability? I would say, get outside and play. Who cares? They're shoes. And the same thing here, let's just say it's both. It's mobility, yes. It's stability, yes. And that's actually, we're going to be talking about today, and I'm going to add one more, and that is durability, because that is so important in light of what's happening in the world today, that we have durability. And of course, all of those words have the meaning of ability. And so we talk about standing. Stability is the ability to stand. Mobility is the ability to move. And durability is the ability to be durable and lasting and to have perseverance. What makes these spiritual shoes so versatile is that they are gospel shoes. When I say gospel, I'm talking about the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel summed up in one passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. I love this. He says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, what I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the gospel, and that he also was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures." That's the gospel. Jesus, he lived, he died, and he rose again. He offers us his life. Like we talked about last week, we have his breastplate of righteousness. He takes our dirty, filthy old life, and he takes it and moves it away from us as far as the east is from the west, and he gives us his breastplate of righteousness. He puts his life on us. What a great exchange. This is what Jesus does for us. And the gospel message, I mean, it is throughout the whole Bible. Paul says, if anybody preaches any other gospel than the gospel that I preach to you, even if an angel, an angelic being comes down, let's say one of those crazy angels of the Bible, like the you know, the ones in the Bible that everybody's terrified of with the eyes and all the wings and its glory and its beauty appeared before us. Paul says, even if that being preached another gospel to you, says, do not listen to it. He says, let him be accursed. I'm fearful for people who preach another gospel other than the truth of Scripture. And even people who don't understand that this whole book is gospel. Right from beginning to end. I was at a conference once and the speaker had a really thin Bible. I just thought, oh, wow, he's got a slim line. You know, that must be like double onion paper. And he's got to be careful when he turns those pages. That must be small print. I'm just kind of confused. And then he starts off his message, and he's like, I only preach from the New Testament. It's like the old covenant is past. I only preach from the new. I got up and headed out. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't have anything to do with a guy who has no use for the beautiful word of God in its fullness, the whole revelation of God. Why? Because the gospel started right at the beginning. It was before God even created. Before he created, he knew that he would give us his own begotten son, his only son. As a sacrifice, he knew that humanity would rebel against him, and he still created you. That is the good news, is he is a God of love that is beyond comprehension. And right in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, as Michael called them, the Bible nerds have a word for that passage. It is the proto-evangelium. It is the first gospel, the first good news. Did you know that the gospel is in Genesis chapter 3 already? And it is when God spoke to the serpent. And he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, incarnate God, is going to give his life and thereby crush the head of the enemy, and that in doing so, Jesus would receive a bruise. He would be wounded, and yet he would be victorious. There's the gospel, Genesis chapter 3, beginning of the book to the end of the book. And so those are the terms we have to define. What does it mean to be prepared? It means that we are prepared to stand in the gospel. It means that we are prepared to go with the gospel. And it means that we are to endure, that we are to have endurance. Stability, mobility, and durability. Now we know that footwear is important. We know from history that footwear was oftentimes the deciding factor in victory of whether an army would win or lose. Napoleon experienced this in 1812 when his soldiers, lacking winter boots in their fight near Russia, died in the thousands and froze to death. We know that the U.S. troops in World War II during the Pacific battle in the jungle, their feet were rotting off their bodies because of the harsh conditions that they were in. They did not have proper footwear for that environment. The Roman soldiers, they, on the other hand, they were able to defeat the known world. They were able to travel long distances because they had very special shoes. Their shoes bound around their feet, these sandals that they wore, and were constructed in such a way that they could breathe. They were constructed in such a way as they had these nails, they call them hobnails, and they would put them in the bottom of the leather in order to have traction. These shoes were durable. These shoes gave traction so they could stand. These shoes gave the ability for them to securely run and to battle and to fight. And so first of all, we see the gospel shoes give us stability. This is so important because we learned that in this armor of God, four times we are told to stand. Remember Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Four times, stand, stand. Do you think he wants us to stand? And so he tells us, how are we to stand? The part of the armor of God, the tool God has given us in order to have stability and mobility and durability, is the gospel shoes, the good news about Jesus Christ wrapped around our feet that will give us strength to stand against the attacks of the enemy, and give us mobility to bring the good news, and give us durability to stand in the worst of circumstances. I remember when Kaylee once came upstairs and informed Angie and I that she had got a head start on the day on the cleaning. Takes after her mom, I guess. She did when she was a kid, at least. But anyways, she came upstairs. She says, Mom, Dad, I cleaned the floor. She had a little rag, and she had the furniture polish, her can of Pledge. lot of you, maybe you're listening online, you're like, what's Pledge? It might be a Canadian brand. It's a terrible feeling when your child has cleaned the whole wood floor on your entire main floor of your house with furniture polish. And so Angie and I went downstairs with our socks and we're sliding all over the kitchen. I said to Angie, Psalm 73:18, surely you have set them in slippery places and you cast them down to destruction. For a whole 2 weeks, we had to wear shoes in our house. It was a terrible time for Angie. Everybody's wearing their shoes. And until this furniture polish would wear off the floor. We felt like Americans. They do that, actually, wear their shoes in the house. But we did that, and we realized that it's a terrible feeling not to have security as you're walking around. Maybe you had that fear when you were a kid. You had the dream of being chased around a kitchen table in socks by a wolf. You ever have that feeling? And you can't run fast enough and you're sliding. There's something about stability, the ability to have good traction that's so important as we are to live and as we are to fight. And so how do we have this traction? I believe that we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to our own souls. Angie reminded me of that this week. It's one of our favorite authors who often tells us to make sure to preach the gospel to yourself. Yes, preach the gospel to everybody around you, but first and foremost, preach the gospel to yourself. It's like the old airplane instruction. If the plane's going down, the oxygen mask falls down, make sure you first take the mask and put it on your own face, and now you can help your children. Why? Because if you haven't first put it on your own face, you are going to pass out before you can help them. And this is the instruction Paul gives us, and this is the instruction we see throughout the Bible. We hear people like David in the Old Testament who tells his soul, he tells his soul to take strength in God. He preaches to himself. One of the things that ways that we can do that is through memorizing the gospel of God in Romans. Yes, John 3:16 is great, but it's not the whole gospel. We need to understand more. And this is so short and so powerful. And just this simple little bit of memory work, and you will have these passages that help you to preach the gospel to yourself every single day. You can remind yourself that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can remind yourself that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You can remind yourself that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can tell yourself every day that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That our hope is in him, that there's nothing we could have ever done. That these gospel shoes are on our feet, not because we crafted these amazing shoes, but that Jesus Christ gave us the gospel, the good news, that he is the one who can do great things inside of us. It's not of our own effort. And so I took this morning, about an hour and a half this morning, and I laminated another 100 of these, and they're at the back of the church. And I encourage you once again, find your Bible translation that you like the most. If you haven't on, I'll make more on there if you're like, oh, I like to read the, and name some obscure translation, you know, I'll do that as well. I'll make more of these for you. It's worth it to me to have you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, but memorize his word. And there's about 5 translations at the back already that we've done for you. I'll do them all if I have to. Remember Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The enemy wants to trip you up. I had somebody come to my door and they were trying to trip me up. They were trying to bring me over to a Jehovah's Witness faith. And they said to me, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, do you believe Jesus is God? I'm like, yes. Do you believe that Mary was the mother of Jesus? And then they asked the next question, do you believe that Jesus is the mother of God? And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And it was just like, it was just a little trick that they use of their many different tricks to put in your head some sort of doctrine that maybe you don't agree with. And they want to trip you up. They want to make it so that you're not standing upon gospel truth. And if you simply know the word of God and the truth about Jesus' incarnation, that Jesus is fully God and fully man, that Mary was the blessed one chosen by God to bring this gift to the world, housing Jesus for those 9 months, but that she was just a woman. And if you know that, you aren't going to get tripped up. And so know the word of God. Know the truth of God's word. Read his word every day. And I want to give you this. This is a gospel guarantee. I guarantee this for you. I guarantee that as you spend time memorizing and dwelling on the word of God, maybe memorizing Romans 8, as we've encouraged many people in our church have memorized that beautiful chapter. As you take time learning the gospel by heart, it will give you a joy incomprehensible. There is such joy in the gospel truth. This is why David said when he came back to God in Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit, Lord." There is so much joy in following after Jesus. There is a direct correlation here between the gospel shoes and joy. We sang of it in the song this morning. I forget, it's one of our new songs, Battle Belongs, I think. And one of the lyrics was literally that very thing. The gospel and peace and joy combined. Should have wrote it down. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says it this way. Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." You see that? It is a gospel that you stand in, and he closes with this, "and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Why do we have such joy? Because we're full of hope. This is why Erica could stand up in front of the whole world and on a live stream share her hope in God. Oh, my heart. To be able to do that, that's so rare for me to see that as a pastor. You know, I saw my sister Fern do that at her own son's funeral, to stand up and gave hope to those young people. Oh, my heart to this day. The power in that, giving God glory to say, hey, we have a hope. We have a hope that goes beyond the grave. And we have a message. And this message is so worthy of sharing that even in my deepest grief, when I want nothing to do with the world, when I just want to turn around and be angry at the people who maybe have influenced this, I say, turn to Jesus. And that's what Erica encouraged people to do. Was she said at the end of her talk, she's like, guys, find a church family. Be a part of what God is doing. God is working a revival in this world today. The gospel shoes also give us mobility. Not only do we stand, I mean, if all you ever do is stand, where are you going? You're like, I'm just standing. But we're also called to go, amen? We got to bring the gospel. And I know we cheer on those people who go to those university campuses. We cheer on Cliff and Stuart. We cheer on Charlie. We cheer on people who go. And we're like, yeah, do the thing. Ray Comfort, do that thing. That's awesome. I wish I could do that. But the Bible says you are to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them about Jesus. Gospel shoes give us mobility. When I first started playing baseball, I was a little bit of a late bloomer doing sports. I didn't have time to mess around with that. I was a farm boy, and I rode my dirt bike. And my mom, she always said, growing up, she's like, you know, we don't got time. Baseball, you know, that's silly. They just, these people running around chasing, hitting this dumb ball around the field. Sorry, Wayne, she doesn't mean to offend you. She doesn't know. She's never played. She never played, so she doesn't know how fun it is and how enjoyable it is. It's a great sport. So I ended up playing a little later in life, and I remember looking at these people with their shoes thinking, those are the goofiest looking shoes I've ever seen. They're set up in such a way as to not trip, It's to avoid tripping over your shoelaces and such. And so you get this funny little tongue on them, and they just look kind of awkward, and the huge cleats on the bottom. And I remember going out one day, and I was in the field, and it was a little bit rainy out, and I was out there, and I wiped out every time a pop fly came my way. You know where you could find me the next day? Sports Check. I went to Sports Check, I got myself some cleats, and I tell you what a difference that makes. And this is why the Roman soldiers, when they wore these particular shoes, what they did is they took nails and they would put them into the bottom of the shoes in such a way that it would create traction. Not just rubber even, it was nail, it was steel, so that it would grip into the soil and the dirt and they could march. They were a mobile army. They were called the Roman, and I'm going to say this wrong, but caligae. And they were a funny-looking, kind of funky shoe. They were laced all the way up the ankle. You look at that and say, well, you need to just cover your feet? Hockey players know this trick. I remember one night I was playing hockey, and I was saying to the guys in the change room, why are you all taping up your ankles? Like, what's the point in that? Why don't you just tie up the laces and be done with it? And they said, try it. You'll never go back. And sure enough, I put the tape around the ankles, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what a game changer that is. The Roman soldiers understood this. They understood this because they knew that in the battle, you don't have time to sprain an ankle. You don't have time to lose your footing. In fact, if you lose your footing during the battle, you are a goner. And so they would take the time to prepare themselves. And this is so important for us today, that we as a church would take the time to prepare our hearts. And so I direct you again to Exhibit A. I tell you, please, please memorize these passages. At least know the gist of them. Just be able to say that the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, so that you can, when somebody says, I'm a good person, you can say to them that there is none good. No, there's none. There's nobody that's righteous. They've all turned aside. God says nobody's good. Everybody sinned. We need the goodness that is only equivalent to the goodness of Jesus. And Jesus gave it to us through his death and his resurrection. He died to give us his goodness. It's called this breastplate of righteousness. And you can put it on right now by looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You can look to him and you can say, Jesus, I need to have your life because I am not good. And I want relationship with my creator. And Jesus, you came and you gave your life. You died so that I could have life. And I trust in that sacrifice. And I want to follow you, Jesus. And you can turn your life to him. So paraphrase it however you like, but know it. Equip yourself with this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good news, and we should be able to effectively share that good news. Now, in the Old Testament, they had these runners in their armies. I love the stories of the runners because the people would watch from afar and they would see different runners coming, and they were people carrying the news. And I love how they talked about them. They're like, oh, that's so-and-so. I can tell by his run. And you can, right? Like, I know even in on a dark night where when Cohen shows up at youth group, and I know Cohen by his particular gait. Right? Everybody has these different gaits, their walks and runs, and you know them by the way that they run. And here's the message in that. You might not be, and some of you will know who I'm talking about, you might not be a Cliff or a Stewart. You might not be a Charlie or a Ray Comfort. You might be a totally different person in the way you communicate the gospel. But God has equipped you with gospel shoes so that you can take that unique, God-given approach to share the faith in a way in which a person's ears could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, perhaps for the first time. It's crazy that we're living in a time in history where I am sharing the gospel with people who've never heard it before. When I started ministry 20 years ago, that everybody had heard the gospel. The reason they were not in church and following Jesus is because they had rejected the gospel. Everybody heard it somewhere in school or on television or somewhere. They've heard the truth of the gospel and may have rejected that truth. But here is what we need to know today. There are people who have never heard the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, and you are uniquely equipped to deliver that gospel message. This is why Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and teaching, to hold fast the word of life. This is why Paul prays later in this same type, this same section of the armor. Paul prays this. He says, and pray for me that I may have boldness to open my mouth, showing forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so go, preach the word of God. And finally, the gospel shoes give us durability. Durability. We need it. When we think about how there is so much anger against truth, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And therefore, when you speak truth, Jesus said, they hated me first. They're going to hate you. If they don't hate you and they are children of darkness, it's because they have not heard truth from you. And so this is so important, church, that we would have durability. That means that we are not influenced by what the world thinks of us. That we would be prepared to be mocked. That we would be prepared to be kicked around. And even so far as to say that we would be prepared to pay the ultimate price of sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is to take a bullet. To be martyred, to be killed for the gospel. This isn't new. This has been happening all around the world. It freaks us out a little bit when it happens on our continent. But this has been happening all over the world. And once more, I direct you to Exhibit A. Memorize it, because it might not always be acceptable to society to keep this in print. Have it with you at all times, in your heart and in your mind. The gospel gives us durability. This is the way Paul puts it. We see this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. He says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. What Paul's saying here is that you will suffer. Jesus gave you not only the gift of believing in him, not only do we have these joyful gospel shoes, but he also gave you the gift of being able to suffer for his sake. And I tell you, it's a gift. It is a gift. But we need durability to stand under that suffering, to be able to not be affected or moved by what the world tells us. And here's the promise. He says through Paul in verse 28 that the enemy, that means those, the spirits and the people who are working as the children of disobedience, who are attacking the believers, when they see your hope, when they see your steadfastness, when they see your durability, it will put fear in their hearts. It will make them realize that there is a source of hope and courage. There is a power, a strength, and a stability in you that goes beyond human comprehension. And they will look to the source of that hope. And they will hear your words, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I tell you, church, we've got to be planting seeds. Wherever we can, however we can. Nature's preaching the message of planting the seeds right now. You ever go out in the field and hear snapping? You hear the snapping out in some of the fields. My dad shared with me the other day that it's a particular type of grass that the farmers use, and the pods, when the sun gets hot and shines on them and they dry out, they snap, and when they pop, they throw their seeds. Did you know that? The beautiful plant called sweet pea, I grew it this year. I was outside and I was like, I'm gonna collect some of these pods because I wanna plant them next year. So I went to grab them a few weeks ago and I grabbed it. And when I grabbed it, it sprung open and it twisted and it threw the seeds in every direction. I thought, God, you're awesome. Showing off with your super power to use your nature to throw the seeds. And it made me realize as a church, we need to do the same. Wherever possible, we need to fling gospel seeds. Even if we think that there's no hope, because we know that the power is not in us. The power is in the gospel itself. This is why Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And you might look at those gospel shoes, and some days you might be sharing your faith and thinking, oh my goodness, this sounds ridiculous coming out of my mouth. It just sounds crazy. I know they think I'm crazy. I know it's true, but I know they think I'm crazy. And you might at times think, oh, I don't want to be that person. I want to tell you today, be that person times 1,000. Please be that person that's willing to be a fool, to show yourself a fool for Jesus. To look at those baseball cleats and say, yeah, they aren't the prettiest things, but I'm putting them on. Why? Because of the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, because the gospel message is worth it. And as you do this, the gospel itself will give you durability to stand under any attack the enemy throws at you. I want to close that point with this picture. You remember Ananias in the Bible? We have Paul. At the time, they called him Saul. He was going around, and guess what he was doing? Killing Christians. Only they used stones back then. And they would take Christians and drag them out of their homes, and they would throw stones at them until they died. Talk about horrific. What terror must have been in the Christian homes, thinking that at any moment they could be dragged out of their homes and stoned for what? For believing in this person of Jesus Christ. And so the Christians went underground, but they still preached the gospel, and Stephen was killed. And there were many Christians who were being imprisoned, and they were being killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God spoke to Paul, the killer, and he blinded him on the road. And Paul went, he found a place on a street called Straight. And on the street, he waited. And God spoke to a man named Ananias, and he said, Ananias, got to strap on those gospel shoes. I want you to bring that special message to somebody that I'm going to show the great things he's going to suffer for me. And this is what happened. Ananias was obedient. Can you imagine how hard that could have been? The guy who's been killing us, I got to go to his house. I got to tell him the message. He kills people for that message, but he strapped on those gospel shoes. God gave him that durability, that strength to say, I don't know what's going to happen here, but God's going to do something, and I trust him in this. I will give my life for this message. And he preached the message to Paul. And Paul went on to preach the message where Jesus was never preached before. And Paul was shipwrecked. And Paul was stoned for the gospel. And Paul was whipped for the gospel. Even when he had a choice to not be whipped, he could have pulled out his citizenship card. He didn't tell them he was a Roman citizen because he knew that in jail, he would have another opportunity to preach the gospel and to reach all the people in the prison and reach the prison guard, and that there would be revival in that town. And so Paul was stoned and whipped and shipwrecked and suffered much, and was one of the men who was the most joyous men who changed the world with the gospel truth, and was the one who penned these magnificent words, which Sweet Corners Church will memorize, because it's gospel shoes. We're going to close with communion today. And this goes beautifully with what we're talking about. Remember I said that you have to preach the gospel to yourself? That is how you're steadfast? You got to put those gospel shoes on your feet? Did you know that sharing in the remembrance meal, and this, by the way, at Sweets, we have open communion, which means that if you trust in Jesus as your Savior, join us for communion today. I know there's always guests here from different types of backgrounds, and so. But this gospel meal is preaching the gospel to you as you take it. It is telling your own soul that Jesus Christ truly is the one who has delivered his life for you, that his blood is effective. Thousands of years later, and his blood is still able to wash away the sins of those who repent and put their trust in him. Thousands of years later, and we are still taking part of his body and sharing the news that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And really, when we take communion and when we put on the armor, did you know we're putting on the person of Jesus Christ? In so many ways. You look at Romans chapter 13. And in Romans chapter 13, Paul says that we are to put on the armor of light. He goes on to say that Jesus Christ is that armor of light, that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at all the parts of the armor, you look at the belt of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You look at the breastplate of righteousness, Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It is the person of Jesus Christ. You look at the gospel of peace. Jesus, he himself, it says in Ephesians, that he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. And Jesus Christ is our shield of faith. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we hold up Jesus, the shield of faith. Jesus Christ is the sword of the Spirit. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And I love how Corinthians words this. Paul says to the Corinthians, as often as you drink this bread and or eat this bread and drink this cup, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Isn't that beautiful? Today, as we share in this meal, we are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're proclaiming it to ourselves. We're proclaiming it to each other. This is why we take this meal together. And let's set our hearts on God. Maybe this week you've just got distracted. Maybe the pull of sin has just gotten you in a direction where you're like, I'm going away from God. My sin's separating me from him. And you need to be reminded that you need to just simply turn over to him. Anything in your life that's distracting you or drawing you away or that is offensive to God. And you need to set your heart back on him. And so let's take a moment to do that, to set our hearts on Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper and saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let's remember Christ together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word of life. And I ask that today you would give us gospel boldness, that you would help us to stand fast, holding on to every truth of your word. Father, we thank you that you are going to give courage and endurance to each person here today, that as they share their faith, their witness, their testimony as to what you've done in their lives, even if they just know the absolute basics, that they would have boldness to say, like the woman at the well, I met a guy who told me everything I did. I think he's the one. Lord, I ask that you would work in that unique way as each person has a particular calling to bring a harvest in of changed lives. I thank you, Lord, that this building will not contain those who come to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you will give this church the strength, the wisdom to disciple, to raise up, and to bring into this body a harvest of changed lives. God, we give glory and honor to you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church to all generations forever and ever. Amen.